So those six first flights, right, the Mercury flights, but then it went to two-man flights. So to what extent did each flight depend on what had been learned in the last flight?
Well, we kept learning more and more about how to live, work in space, and how the hardware was operating. Frank and I went up on a flight, Gemini 7, 2 weeks, to find out how long man could live in zero gravity. And there were some people that thought that since we evolved on Earth and we evolved under the influence of Earth's gravity, that something in the body was dependent on the gravity, flow of the blood or something like that, or breathing or something like that. So we had to make sure that zero gravity we could exist. And of course, it turns out that it was possible in 2 weeks. And of course, now just recently, with Scott Kelly being up over a year, it appears that we can have long-term things.
So you mentioned Gemini 7. So, and you were together, right?
Were we ever?
14 days?
14 days, and if I am smaller than the front seat of a Volkswagen. Yeah, move over here. Well, we were sitting closer like this and than this in an ejection seat for 2 weeks.
So oh, yeah. describe this experience. I mean, togetherness.
It's indescribable.
Well, actually, though, you know, because it was zero gravity, because I tested out the spacecraft one time at the factory, and the spacecraft was like this, so I'm on my back with my feet up, and I thought to myself, I'm going to spend 2 weeks in this thing? I can't even spend 10 hours in this thing. And the zero gravity made the whole difference, because I was actually kind of floating in the seat with a seat belt around my waist, but loose. And so, you know, you didn't have the effects of sitting and getting sores and tired and all that sort of stuff. In those days, the NASA was very cautious. They didn't want us to remove our spacesuits. Now, Frank and I were wearing a special spacesuit, completely enclosed. It didn't have the helmet normally. It had a hard hat type or a cloth type helmet. And a couple days went by, and this pure oxygen was making our bodies very dry. And so we asked to take off our spacesuits. And, you know, we had underwear underneath that. And they didn't want us to. Eventually, I unzipped the back of my suit, went all the way down here, and I was pulling my body out a little bit to say, can we take off our spacesuits? Well, they didn't know. And so finally, I just took off my spacesuit, and I'm flying in my underwear, and poor Frank was still in his thing. I really felt sorry for him. And finally, he got his suit off, and we spent the rest of the time in our underwear for the last 14 days.
I didn't realize the conversation was going quite this far, but
well, as Jim said last night, look. If you can't get along with Jim Lovell, you can't get along with anybody. I'm so praise God every day that was Jim and that I got to spend 14 lovely days in space. But we got so close that we lost. Jim said last night we lost one toothbrush along the way, so we just shared a toothbrush the rest of the
way. Shared a toothbrush.
Is that right?
So when you got on the carrier, when they put you back on the carrier, what were you telling everybody about your 14 days together?
Well, you tell them this time.
Actually, it was kind of interesting because they had an experiment. The medical community at that time in America didn't spread itself with glory. You know, they wanted us, first place, they wanted us, Jim, if you'll remember, to spend 2 weeks on Earth in that damn thing. And I don't think there's anybody alive that could have done that for 2 weeks. But anyway, then they were really afraid that when we came back after 2 weeks, we'd pass out or die. So they had garters, pneumatic garters, put on Lovell. And the idea was they would pulsate and make the body, the heart, believe it was in 1G because it'd be harder to pump. And I was the the controlled mechanism. I didn't have any. So we came down in Gemini, and I'm looking at Jim, and I can remember he looked at me, and he said, "You feel like passing out?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Neither do I." And that was about the end of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, my wife saw the TV of me walking across the carrier deck just after the helicopter dropped us down, and she said, "You know, it looks like you had poop in your pants."
Well, you probably did.
When the frogman opened the hatch, what was their reaction?
It smelled like hell in there.
Yeah, but we couldn't tell because we've been smelling it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were immune.
But you're real. What did this do in terms of sealing your relationship? I mean, two guys, both of you high-powered, smart, highly educated aviators, and you get 2 weeks of being that close together?
Well, I tell you, after 2 weeks like that, you either become bitter enemies or you become good friends, and Jim and I are good. We even formed a duet. For 2 weeks, we sang the country song, "Let's Pretend That We're Together All Alone." Remember that?
Yeah, I sure remember that.
You know, from what we read, you know, when you're up in Apollo, for instance, there were experiments. I mean, you're working a lot. Is that pretty correct, that you're very busy?
Yes, well, not so much with experiments on our flight, but with monitoring the systems in the spacecraft first, and also with looking at the landmarks on the moon for future flights. And Jim, of course, was navigating. We're looking at the stars. But
Apollo 8, you're talking about.
Apollo
no,
8,
no,
yeah.
I'm. Well, I want to go back to Gemini. I wondered. Did you have time to read or do something besides sing to each other?
We brought
or?
Two books along. I think I had something like Drums Along the Mohawk or something like
and
that.
And I had Roughing It.
Yeah, you had Roughing It.
Yeah.
I started a diary. You know, started like all people start diaries, and then we just forgot it. We just kept looking out the window because actually, you know, we had 45 hours of daylight, then 45 of nighttime, and you know, so it was always exciting to look out the window.
Yeah. So move forward then. Let's go to Apollo then. In fact, wait. Let's go back to a Gemini 12. Where, you know, Buzz went out in an EVA, but Gene Cernan's earlier in Gemini, what, 9 or 10?
Gene Cernan went out. What we had to do was to figure out some way of working outside the spacecraft. Ed White in Gemini 4 just went out and floated around, and it looked so easy. And he came back in. So we had to figure out, well, if we stay outside the spacecraft, what can we do? So it was programmed to do it on Gemini 9, even with a backpack to go float around. But Gene quickly found out that without the proper handholds or footholds, that he was really fighting Newton's third law of motion, which means for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And when he started to touch the spacecraft, it would react, and he was having a hard time just moving around. So he quickly got overheated, his heart rate went way up, and so we stopped that. So we, on Gemini 10 and also Gemini 11, we tried to figure out how to do EVA. And in both those times, it was also a failure. And so on Gemini 12, we used water immersion. I don't know who thought of it, it was a great idea. And used a boy's swimming pool to go underwater and practice with a mock-up of the spacecraft. And we put Buzz Aldrin in a spacesuit, the spacesuit can work just as well underwater as it can in space. We put flotation devices around him so he wouldn't float.
So he's neutrally buoyant? He was,
Yeah, neutral. And then he started to work on how best to work behind the spacecraft, and that worked out so that on 12 we managed to have three spacewalks, a total of 5.5 hours, I believe, and finally solved the EVA problem. And now, of course, today both the United States and Russia have huge swimming pools where before any of the work is done on the International Space Station, or in the past on the shuttles, they would go down there and practice to do that before they would go up.
So head to Apollo 1, and before it was supposed to fly, they had a tragic accident on the launch pad. Three astronauts died that day, and of course the program was shut down for what, 21, 22 months?
Something like Frank? That.
And yeah. And how challenging was that redesign and preparation to try to fly?
Well, that showed NASA at its best, because they immediately set to work to try to figure out how to fix it. And, you know, finally, in the real analysis, just like in everyday life, it gets down to the individuals. And the individual that I claim was the most responsible for the Apollo subsequent success was George Lowe, who was the Apollo program manager, and also Chris Kraft, who managed the flight director. And those two people carried the burden. Now, there were a lot of other people that helped them, but those two people and their groups really oriented us toward success.